don't know what it is, but the Oklahoma invented it.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Trail Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Crittenden and Brian Clement.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Brian Clinton fanatics, Christmas time lovers, people who are excited about OU's recruiting class. This is the podcast for you. My name is Jesse Crittenden. I am joined by my co-host Brian Clinton for the Oklahoma Drill, a podcast fueled by OU Insider and the Rivals Network. Coach, sir, Esquire, Brian, it's almost Christmas time, man.
It is.
How was Christmas in Collinsville? What happens there for Christmas time?
So, family tradition here is we wake up whenever the child wakes us up. Before that, I mean, this stood before that, but we wake up, I break out the Christmas Vacation DVD that gets played one time a year on Christmas morning.
Got to.
And we watch that the one time a year that I drink eggnog, which I don't mind eggnog. It's not my favorite thing, but it's good one time a year.
Yeah.
So we do that. We make cinnamon rolls and do the old do the Christmas presents thing and all that. My wife, obviously, I don't think she listens to my podcast, so I think I can come out and say this. One of the things that I bought her this year was a necklace, and you know these necklace boxes come in, they're like this big, right?
Yeah.
I've gotten 7 of 10 bigger boxes wrapped now with the smallest one inside it. And by the time I'm finished with that and hand it to her, it's a huge Amazon box she's gonna have to open 10 of them to get down to it. So I'll make sure and video that one. But we try and enjoy just time with each other on Sunday morning before, you know, the craziness of having young children and Christmas kicks off in the afternoon. So good stuff. Yeah. Looking forward to it. How about at the Crittenden house? How's things happen on Christmas Day there?
Well, for the third year in a row, I will be traveling on Christmas Day. Not only for the third year in a row, this is the second time in 3 years I'm driving to San Antonio on Christmas Day because OU football decided to go against my wishes and they made the Alamo Bowl again. I told Brent, you know, if he could win a couple more games for me, that'd be great. But, you know, they decided to do their own thing and that's cool. Hey, I like the Alamo Bowl. I like San Antonio.
Riverwalk's pretty sweet.
Riverwalk is great, and obviously I'm just poking fun, but I've got family coming in. Actually, we're recording this Friday. I've got family coming in tomorrow night.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning, and then Thunder game tomorrow night. Lakers Thunder. Thunder are killing it lately. And then Christmas Eve is getting ready for San Antonio because I'll be down there for 5 days. So it's great. Before we talk about all kinds of things OU football related, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I think it's Christmas Vacation.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah. Die Hard would be my second favorite. I am one of those people. So I'll leave that at that. But I almost wore my Yippee-ki-yay shirt for you today, but I decided probably shouldn't. So.
Well, I will say I know the reference. I'll say something blasphemous. I have never seen Die Hard.
That's not blasphemous. That's all right. It's a good watch. It is. I will never hold it against somebody. What I try not to do is pump it up so much that you were disappointed when you do watch it. So I would just say it's a good movie.
I guess I need to see it so I can properly weigh in on if it's a Christmas movie. debate or not.
It happens on Christmas. So, that's the tie-in. It's okay. Christmas Eve. So,
well, and obviously I'm a big oh my God, the main actor in that movie. What's his name?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe I just forgot Bruce Willis's name. I love Bruce Willis. I love his movies. My favorite Christmas movie is Home Alone.
That's a good one.
I just love Home Alone. It's Kevin McAllister.
Yep.
Causing havoc for an hour and a half.
That's part of the loop. You got to watch that one. You got to watch Elf is another one that you got to watch. It's good stuff. This is a good time of year. I'm not a proponent to celebrate Christmas before Thanksgiving. But after Thanksgiving's over, I'd certainly get in the mood. So excited about it.
Well, I think some people who would agree with you about not only Christmas, but this being a good time of year to celebrate is the University of Oklahoma, the football team specifically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had early signing day on Wednesday, and it was a pretty simple, easy, drama-free day. For Brent Venables and company. And I think just, man, when you think about last year, OU going 6-6 in the regular season, it's, are they going to be able to hold on to all the recruits? And then obviously you had the Peyton Bowen thing, which worked out for Oklahoma, but that was certainly, that could have gone either way. And then you had the year before that, obviously Lincoln Riley left, Brent Venables came on board. Are they going to be able to keep all those recruits together? I think it's pretty impressive that this, outside of it taking a little bit of time for Taylor Tatum to sign, it was a pretty easy day for Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Brian, I think in keeping with the Christmas theme for a little bit longer, there's a lot going on in Norman right now. Basketball, despite a tough loss on Wednesday night to North Carolina. They're 10-1, top 15 team in the country. OU getting a lot of guys back, just signed a recruiting class that ranks in the top 10. What should OU fans be most thankful for right now?
Is Brent Venables a cheap answer? Is that is that an easy answer?
No, no, that's a good answer.
I'm going to go with Brent Venables. I think... So I think that things kind of get lost sometimes in translation. People get upset whenever guys like Dominic McKinley maybe don't end up at Oklahoma, or David Hicks last year or two, and you have all of these high profile guys, and 6-7 last year was tough, but when you kind of step back and take a look at where the Oklahoma program is right now, you've had. The first year he comes in, they salvage what was left of their recruiting class, and they finish eighth. So you can't really hold that against Brent. It's kind of hard to give him full credit for that class, considering a lot of the work was done prior to that. But it is on his resume that class ranked eighth. The two recruiting classes that he has been fully responsible for have been sixth and sixth. I think that gets kind of lost on people a little bit. That's recruiting at an elite level. That's really exciting for the roster moving forward. And I think that if anything that we have learned about Brent Venables is true, it's just the genuine personality, the genuine guy that he is. And that has been something that, it almost feels like it's permeated the Oklahoma football program to an extent. Like his intensity, his focus, those things are slowly starting to become synonymous with Oklahoma football, where I think you could almost argue that wasn't the case before he was there. So I think Oklahoma fans need to be thankful for Brent Venables, because it feels as if he's brought a stability consistency to the program that is going to be very, very important going into their next phase of life as a program. So I think you should be thankful for Brent Venables, what he's brought to the program, and what it looks like he's building going into the future.
This episode of the Oklahoma Drill Podcast is brought to you in part by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Say hello to a stressless holiday season with the help of HelloFresh. Skip the grocery store and save time with easy, tasty recipes delivered to your door. Tis the season for giving and gathering. After a full day of work, there's still so much to do. Some days, it feels like eating a wholesome dinner is next to impossible. But with HelloFresh, you can turn busy weeknights into memorable mealtimes with delicious, practical options designed to save you time, like their 15-minute meals. And folks, I love HelloFresh because it gives me a very easy, very affordable, and very nutritious option at mealtimes. And it saves me time. I have so many busy weeknights, so many things on my cramped schedule that any aid I can get in that department is more than welcome. That's what HelloFresh provides. So go to HelloFresh.com/OUInsiderFree and use code OUInsiderFree for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while your subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/OUInsiderFree with code OUInsiderFree. This episode of the Oklahoma Drill Podcast is brought to you in part by Manscaped. Step into 2024 with confidence thanks to Manscaped, where resolutions are met and hairs are neatly kept. As the new year approaches, why not make self-improvement a breeze by keeping your body well-groomed? The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is here, and let me tell you, it's got futuristic tendencies. Included in this bundle is the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, the Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer, and the essential aftercare products like the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, and two free gifts. Did I mention that it's waterproof too? Manscaped threw in the Boxers 2.0 and the Shed 2.0 toiletry bags. Our resolutions may come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay with Manscaped's latest and greatest. Start the new year right, because when you look good, you feel good. Manscaped, helping you sculpt the best version of yourself for the year ahead. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code OUINSIDER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code OUINSIDER. Happy New Year to your balls.
That's a really good point, man. And I think, look, Oklahoma fans are really passionate, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, Oklahoma is one of the most successful football programs ever. But I do think things like the Caden Green situation, obviously it's a tough loss for Oklahoma, obviously. But I think sometimes the drama that gets wrapped up in that kind of stuff does sometimes miss the point that OU just signed another top 10 recruiting class, almost top five recruiting class. Like, that can't get lost in the shuffle of how important it was to do that going into the SEC. Also, as tough as those Kansas and Oklahoma State losses were, OU did just go 10-2 with a chance to go 11-2 after a really tough year last year. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about this program. There's a lot of reasons to feel good about the direction. And Brian, I think along those lines, I think what is something to be really thankful for, I think if you're an Oklahoma football fan, is this recruiting class. This is a really impressive recruiting class, man. It was so cool on Wednesday night. We did the OU Insider signing day special. And we had nearly half the recruits participate in interviews, obviously with Parker and Brandon, but we got to talk to them in between interviews behind the scenes over at Sooner Daiquiri. Brian, it was just so cool to see. It was so cool to see how close this recruiting class is. Like, it's clear that these dudes really like each other, that that these kids have already bonded together. And I think Brent Venables has had a big part of that. He talks about being relational and all those things. Not only was that cool to see how close this recruiting class is, but also, man, there are some guys in this recruiting class that OU just hasn't had. Not that caliber.
Yeah.
And obviously even someone like David Stone, that was the first time I actually got to meet him in person. I was like, that's just a big kid. He's going to come in right away and make an impact.
Did I tell you the story of when I first met him?
No.
So it was It was one of the first couple of home games this year. I believe it was the opener, if he was there. I want to say it was the opener. Anyways, I introduced myself because I was new with right. OU Insider at that point. And, you know, we sat and talked for a second there, and then I needed to go help Parker with something. So I shook the kid's hand. I've got decent-sized hands. David Stone shook my hand, and he could have touched his thumb and his fingers together on the other side. I've never felt as small as I did in that moment. I mean, I'm 6'1", probably 235, 240 pounds. And I was not anywhere near the size of that kid. And he's what, 17 years old, 18 years old. So yeah, that is what a future NFL defensive lineman looks like.
that was exactly my thought. And I, you know, obviously I don't want to put too much pressure on him. You know, obviously he's a kid. He's not even, you know, he just signed. There's a lot of future ahead of him. But that was my thought, is I think when you looked at, you know, stuff like years past, even when OU made those, you know, the college football playoffs several times, there was just such a stark difference between Oklahoma's size compared yes. to Alabama and Georgia and LSU. I mean, I was at those games, and it was evident. And I think even OU losing to Georgia in that heartbreaking game in 2017, the reason, I mean, it was impressive that OU got up at all, and obviously there were things like the squib kick that certainly didn't help, but Georgia was just bigger. Yeah. They were just more dominant. They were just more athletic. And OU, those, like, I think to win at the highest level, you've got to have guys like that.
Yeah.
OU hasn't had players like that, not consistently, for years. I think this recruiting class has got a few of them, man. Mm-hmm. And I think this, you got to have a foundation. You've got to have a base. And when you look at this recruiting class, man, I think the thing that stands out most to me is it's the defensive line. This is the best defensive line group OU has signed in more than a decade, probably. I mean, and again, these kids have not actually played on a college field yet. But, I mean, it makes me think of, you know, when OU had Tommy Harris and Dusty Dvorak. It's been a long time since OU's had those guys like that. I think they've got guys like that in this class. I mean, it's not just David Stone. Obviously, he's the headliner, and for good reason, but – man, I mean, even, you know, Danny Okoye and, you know, and Nigel Smith and
Jaden Jackson is a guy that people need to not sleep on either. He's going to be a freak.
Jaden Jackson, I think, I mean, all these guys, I think, could be really good. I think Jaden Jackson has the potential to be not only the best player in this class, but one of the best defensive linemen in college football, period.
Agreed.
And, I mean, James Nesta, it's just, that's what stands out to me about this recruiting class, man. I don't know if, I mean, what all, when you look at it, I mean, there's, you know, 28 total commitments, all 27 scholarship guys signed on Wednesday. What stands out to you about this recruiting class?
Well, it's gotta be the defensive line. I won't beat a dead horse here, but I don't remember which recruiting site it was that had this, had the numbers here, but OU signed as many top 40 defensive linemen as Georgia did, and more than teams like Texas and Alabama and Oregon. Like, you know, big time names are coming to Oklahoma to play on the defensive line. So, you know, Todd Bates and Miguel Chavis are doing really, really good work there. And it's exciting. I mean, if you just think about what they've stacked the last couple of years up front, I mean, you've got PJ Adebowore, or Adibarwa.
Adibarwa.
You've got you and
Brandon.
Yeah, I can't handle it, man. I can't do it. I get the problem is that I had Adibarwa like hammered into my head, and then it changed again. But
I did too. R. Mason Thomas.
Yeah, so you've got guys that are just, you're starting to stack up the depth, and I think that's where, you know, in games like that Georgia game in the Rose Bowl, when those big offensive linemen started leaning in the second half and really opened up these huge holes, I think that's where, you know, Oklahoma may have had one or two guys that looked the part, but when the third quarter rolls around, those guys are gassed. The second level of what they've had at the defensive line just hasn't been, it's not been up to snuff. And so I think it's huge that they've stacked what they have along the lines of scrimmage. And let's not overlook what Bill Beanbo did in this class either. Eddie Pierre Lewis, I thought everybody said Louis, I guess it's Lewis, is dude's a stud. I mean, he's 300. There's a video of this kid running 100 meter dash sub 13. He's benching 225 pounds for 25 reps in high school. I mean, after, you know, he does need to change some of his, he's probably a little heavier than he should be as far as body fat goes, but I think that goes, that's everybody at that age, you know, coming in as an offensive lineman. So once he gets with Schmitty for an offseason or two, I mean, that guy's going to be a stud. Daniel Akinkunmi is somebody that the staff feels extremely good about, that he's a very underrated guy. If he'd have been playing in the States, they feel that he'd have been a much bigger get. And so, you know, along the lines of scrimmage, that's where Oklahoma needs to improve and get really, really good. And I think they did a good job there. And the last thing I'll hit on is signing a guy like Taylor Tatum when you had some of the question marks that you did at running back this year is big. It's big. I know that they went out and signed the UT Martin transfer, you know, or went out and got him. But I have a feeling that a guy like Taylor Tatum needs to come into this running back room and kind of reshuffle how everything looks. You know, Gavin Sawchuk does look like the guy right now, and I assume that he will continue to be that, but you need to be better at that position going forward, and I think getting the guy, the number one overall running back in the class, by a lot of people's opinion, is a big get for DeMarco Murray. So good stuff, really good class, excited about what they bring, and they're going to set the standard for Oklahoma in the SEC. This will be the first group of kids that's never seen Big 12 football. It'll be all SEC football. So really exciting.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you hit on a lot of good stuff there. I think the thing for me was, I mean, with the SEC move, this just wasn't going to be a typical recruiting class. And with the activity in the transfer portal, I mean, I think OU, especially when you look at what they're losing and also just where they need some upgrades, OU needs a freshman class that can come in and make an impact right away. Yep. That's what OU needs. I mean, obviously not all 28 of these guys are going to get a significant playing time right away, but I think several of them are going to be asked to play real minutes week one next year. And I think these kids can, and really at every position group. I mean, I think as much as the defensive line is really impressive, and you mentioned, I mean, getting Taylor Tatum is a big deal. This class is just really well rounded.
Yes.
It's really impressive how well rounded and how many guys they got at every single position group, and versatile and athletic and bigger. I mean, even the wide receiver group is really, really exciting. I think that's huge. And also, I mean, it's not only just how well rounded it is, but I mean, they got six kids that are currently attending an Oklahoma high school. That's not even including David Stone. That is the most for OU. That's the most in-state recruits for OU since 2017.
Yeah,
I started looking through the numbers yesterday. They got seven guys from Texas. But I mean, 14 different states are represented, obviously. Overseas and England is represented as well. I don't know. I mean, outside of having the overall number one recruiting class, I don't know how much better this coaching staff could have done to get elite talent and well-rounded, versatile depth at every position group. Yep. It's impressive. And I think as much as other stuff gets in the way, that can't be lost.
No,
to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, we haven't even said the name Jeremiah Newcomb. We haven't said the name. I mean, I think you mentioned Danny Okoye, which everybody saw what he just did at the U.S. Army Bowl. Like, This is a there's depth and good talent. I mean, Michael Hawkins is a guy that I think gets overlooked because Jackson Arnold's the guy right now. That dude is somebody that could be a difference maker for you at some point. So, yeah, it's huge. It's a really good class, and as you said, it's very well rounded. What are they? Was it 14 offensive and 13 defensive guys?
Yeah,
I think is how it broke out. It's yep. Like I mean, just very balanced, very well rounded. Good stuff from the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's I think if nothing else, that's what I think OU fans should be most thankful for. I think the only other thing I'll ask is when you look at this recruiting class top to bottom, and you mentioned there's so many names we haven't mentioned of guys that I think fans should be really excited about. Is there a guy that you're really excited about that maybe hasn't been talked about a lot, or you think can really make an impact right away that maybe hasn't been talked about like that? Is there a guy?
Somebody that we haven't talked about today, or just isn't being talked about in general? Because there is someone.
Both, either.
I think Devon Mitchell's like the easy answer there for somebody we haven't spoke about today. Like, that guy has a chance to come in and be tight end one right away. He's a freak. I mean, he should be going into his senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Whenever he was on the field as a junior, he just looked different than everybody else. He was just bigger, faster, stronger. Dude is going to have a really good chance. You've got Bauer Sharp, who comes in from SLU and is going to give them some depth there, and is a freaky athlete himself. But Devon Mitchell is a guy that could really be good for them. And then, you know, as I kind of sit here and look through some of the other names, Michael Boganowski is another one that mm-hmm. is, you know, I believe he was Kansas, maybe Gatorade Player of the Year. He won one of those awards. He's extremely physical. Big time get for Oklahoma to land him over. Was it Kansas State? I believe was the big one there. It was big for them to pick him up, and he brings good size to a safety room that's already just chock full of talent. So I love what they've done with the secondary here, where it feels like you've got guys that can play different positions, that can play, you can move them into the nickel spot, which, you know, cheetah, I guess is what Oklahoma calls it, but you can move them into that spot and then allow them to play with a little more freedom. And so he's a guy that fits that role really well. So those are two guys that we haven't spoken about today that I think, you know, could have a big role for the Sooners next year.
You mentioned the secondary. Don't sleep on Eli Bowen either. Not that anybody is. But this is not he's Peyton Bowen's little brother. This is a kid that I think is going to – I mean, Brent Venables even made a point to say that during his press conference, that regardless of what – if Peyton Bowen committed or not, they were going to go hard after Eli Bowen.
Yep.
And I think that's a really good pick. I mean, obviously – I mean, Isaiah Autry, I mean, just even going through the recruiting class again, it's just – I mean, he's 6'7", 285. That's just yep. – you look at the size of this recruiting class. I mean, there's 6'7", 6'6", 6'5", 6'5", 6'5", 6'5", 6'4". It's just
– yeah, and then you've got 300, 335, yeah. 310. Like, you've got good size. You're right, 100%.
Yeah. Just caliber of athlete. And I say a lot that – I mean, football is an incredibly complicated schematic game. I mean, the X's and O's that goes into it, the strategy, there is so much that happens on every play, mm-hmm. on every single play on the field. So much happens. There's a lot that goes into why teams win and lose. But at the same time, sometimes it's just, do you have the bigger, more athletic dudes?
Yeah.
Are you winning the battle of the line of scrimmage? That's always, actually, that's probably number one on what wins you games, but you've got to, like, sometimes you just need the horses.
You do, yeah. And Oklahoma's starting to get them, I think, is what it feels like. So,
yep. But I mean, I think a lot to be excited for, man. And then there's also, I mean, several of these guys are going to also participate in the bowl practices for the Alamo Bowl. OU gets down there on Sunday, I believe. I believe they get there on Sunday.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and several of these guys are going to participate, which is cool. They finally started letting the NCAA finally started letting signees participate in bowl practices starting last year. So a few guys got to do that. Few guys got to do it this year, or are going to get to do it this year, which is pretty cool. And to me, Brian, again, you know, looking forward to the Alamo Bowl, which is a week from yesterday. You know, OU's lost a few guys, but overall, or, you know, to opt outs and the transfer portal and stuff. But overall, again, I cannot stress that this is a real opportunity for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big opportunity for Oklahoma. And I think there's going to be, I mean, for a lot of reasons, I think finishing 11-2 obviously would be a big deal. Obviously, Jackson Arnold is going to get his first collegiate start. All of that's a big deal. But this is a really big opportunity for some guys that maybe didn't see a ton of consistent playing time that we know have the potential to be studs on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, just looking at, you know, we still got a few more days until the Alamo Bowl, but when you look at either side of the ball, and especially if you're looking at it from a fan, not necessarily from a fan perspective, but when you're looking at both sides of the ball, who, I mean, who's a young guy, or maybe it doesn't even have to be young, who's a guy on either side of the ball that you think could make a huge impact, could maybe raise their stock going into the off season and next season? Is there a guy on either side of the ball or both sides of the ball that, that kind of fits that, that category for you?
Defensively, I think my guy would be PJA. I'm not going to try and say the name again. Yes, I will. PJ Adebawara, right?
Eddie Bowara.
Okay. Anyways, yes, the defensive end, 5-star defensive end from the class of 2023, number 34 in your hearts, or number 34 on the field, number one in your hearts. I think PJ has a really good chance to, you know, it kind of gets lost on people that 15 bowl practices is like going through an entire spring. And I think that that's a guy that I think the only thing really holding him back is going to be his technique and just experience, because when it comes to physical gifts, I don't think there's probably a guy on the roster right now that has more physical gifts than what he's got. So, defensively, I think having a pass rusher like that, that could give you just another weapon, especially when you're facing a quarterback like Fifita, from Arizona, who has been really good this year. I think that's a big one. And then the obvious answer on the other side of the ball is Jackson Arnold. I think you and I probably both agree that him being a freshman, we're probably going to see a mistake or two. That's just part of what happens. But for the most part, I think we could also agree in saying that there's a really good chance that he comes out and blows some people's socks off on what he's able to do. I mean, he's got all the arm talent in the world. He's been in a similar offense in high school. So this isn't like, you know, this isn't all brand new to him. He's obviously spent a year under Dylan Gabriel and gotten to learn the ins and outs of things. And so I would not be surprised at all if Jackson Arnold comes out and looks like a bona fide dude whenever it comes to leading Oklahoma's offense up and down the field. You know, Arizona's defense is pretty good. It's not an awful defense. It's probably middle of the road Big 12 defense, which actually was very good statistically this year. The defenses were in the Big 12. So, I think 2 5-star guys from last year's class, I think this is an opportunity for them to both show up and play bigger roles for OU.
Really excited to see, you mentioned PJ on the defensive line, really excited to see R. Mason Thomas, a guy that I asked Brent Venables about him a few weeks ago. And he said he was our best defensive lineman in the spring and in fall camp, but dealt with some injuries, didn't see a ton of playing time. really excited to see. I think he's going to get a lot of burn.
Yeah.
And then Peyton Bowen, who obviously got a lot. He got a decent amount of time during the season, but he was kind of battling injuries the entire year. And there were games he didn't play a ton. I think just dealing with injuries, but he's, you know, by the time OU takes the field, it will have been a month since they had played. That's time for him to get healthy, get right. Obviously with Key Lawrence, mm-hmm. Entering the portal, I think, you know, and with, you know, this is, there's just going to be a lot more snaps available for Peyton Bowen, a guy that, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone in saying could easily end up being a monster for this OU defense. I'm really excited about Peyton Bowen. I mean, yeah, sorry. What?
No, you're good. Somebody else, you saying that about him getting over injury, another guy to talk about is DeSean McCullough, but
yeah,
you go ahead and finish your thoughts there. I thought you were finished.
God, interrupting me. God.
Let's put the helmets Oklahoma on, drill. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put the pets. yeah, no, DeSean McCullough is a good one too, but yeah, I'm really excited about Peyton Bowen. And then I think offensively with losing Andrew Rame and Tyler Guyton and Caden Green, I'm really excited to see. I think Joshua Bates is going to get a lot of burn.
Good one.
Really excited to see Joshua Bates. And it's not just exciting, but it's also going to be important to see. I mean, against a top 15 ranked team, a decent defense, how does he play? I'm curious to see if he's going to get the bulk of the center snaps. Do they play Troy Everett at guard? Do they put Troy Everett at center? How much burn does Jake Taylor get? But there's certainly, I mean, they're going to have to rely on some guys they haven't really relied on this year. I think Joshua Bates is probably going to be the guy that is the biggest beneficiary. I'm really excited about him. And then I'm curious to see if Javonte Barnes, how much burn he's going to get. Because, I mean, Tawee Walker's announced he was going to go to the portal, but obviously he's still with the team. But I'm curious to see how much playing time he's going to get. Brent Venables has kept the door open for him to return. We'll see what happens. Marcus Majors in the portal, not with the team. Gavin Sawchuk's going to be the number one guy, but with Javonte Barnes, feels like a million years ago, he was seen as the favorite to be the number one running back in this offense. It's just injuries, and I think there was a lot that kept him off the field. I mean, he barely saw the field in conference play. Barely. I'm curious if a month off and some time to kind of get right and be, you know, not have the pressure of playing a game every weekend, you know, and all the noise that comes with that. I just, you know, I think Javonte Barnes, obviously the talent is there, obviously the skill is there, but I mean, with adding Taylor Tatum, with Caleb Hicks still in tow, with Gavin Sawchuk asserting himself as the number one guy, I'm just curious, like, Javonte Barnes, and I'm not even trying to speculate, but I think Javonte Barnes is a guy that it would be tough to see him maybe get buried on the depth chart.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen. Obviously, it's still early. This is just his second year of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a guy that played really, really well for this team last year. But I'm curious if they give him more snaps, if they give him more opportunities, and what happens if they do.
Yeah, that feels like a guy that, you know, even looking forward past the bowl game, I feel like that's a guy that really needs to buckle in and have a really good offseason. Like, that's somebody that could maybe someone that could benefit the most from an offseason, because, I mean, you're right. It wasn't that long. It does feel like a long time ago, but at the beginning of the year, it was Javonte Barnes, Gavin Sawchuk, and typically it was in that order that people talked about him. So I'm just curious to see what he does look like. That's a really good thought, because, having a month to get right and kind of reset and having, you know, foot injuries are kind of, they can be finicky. So with him having a surgery and coming back from that, you know, maybe this extra time will be good for him and allow him to get up to 100% on that. DeSean McCullough, as I said earlier, that's a guy that he had flashes throughout the year, would make a play or two where you're like, whoa, but like he wasn't able to be consistent because he was dealing with injury after injury after injury. not enough to really keep him off the field for long periods of time, but you could tell it really was affecting how well he was able to move around on the field. And so hopefully that's a guy having a month to get right, get his body right, as someone that flashes here. You know, it is concerning some of the pieces that they've lost between the last time we saw him on the field and what we'll see in the Alamo Bowl. But at the same time, this is one of the better rosters in college football. And I think that opportunities being given to some of these other guys, we were kind of in the same boat, if you'll remember, going into the Cheez-It Bowl last year. Like, we, you know, nobody really knew what to expect. A lot of guys opting out. A lot of guys weren't really sure what the offensive line was going to look like. And then the legend of Savion Byrd is born. And you have, like, you know, you've got guys stepping in. And the offensive line that was truly makeshift last year was it came in and looked really good against a good Florida State defense. So I'm excited about the bowl game. I think there's a lot of opportunities for some of these guys to step up, and we've obviously given several names that you can look for, but it's probably going to be the guy that nobody talked about, you know, like a Jaquizz Petaway or, you know, somebody that's got somebody's got the juice that we've just almost kind of forgotten about because he's maybe didn't have the opportunities that he had hoped he would. So it'll be good. It'll be good.
I think the only other thing, Brian, is, I mean, you know, the bowl game, obviously, next week. But then, you know, we've got the transfer portal is still open for another couple of weeks. Before we started, OU landed, like, literally right before we started, OU got a commitment from Fabechi Nwewu. Is that how you say it? Did I get it right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to Nwewu. It could be in Nwewu, but let's go Nwewu. That sounds good.
Okay. An offensive lineman out of North Texas, former freshman All-American. I think a guy that brings, I mean, I think he's a guy to be excited about. Obviously, the second offensive lineman to commit via the portal, you know, joining Spencer Brown from Michigan State. It's interesting because Fabechi is the sixth commit in the transfer portal. Brett Venables on Wednesday said they're going to take 10 guys, at least 10 scholarship guys through the portal. So that leaves four more spots that they can add through the portal. I'm just curious, Brian, before we turn it, you know, our focus to Christmas and all of that, what's maybe, you know, with four spots left, what's a position group that you think could still use some help in the portal?
I think they'll take another offensive lineman, probably an interior guy, I would imagine. They just need a lot of help there. Losing Savion Byrd and Caden Green on top of your center who just started 3 years or 4 years in a row. I think it was three in a row.
Yeah.
There's a lot of help that needs to be done there. So I think that's one. I wouldn't be surprised if the right guy comes into the portal on the defensive line, if they take another, you know, someone that could be a difference maker.
Yeah.
You know, they're it's gotta be the right fit. You know, this, I think the beauty of what Coach Venables has done over the last couple of years is Oklahoma can be a little more selective now. Like, they can be a little more picky on who they're taking and what they're bringing into the locker room. So, you know, they do have some holes that need to be filled there, but it's not like it was prior to a 6-7 year. So, offensive, defensive line, I would say those are probably two spots. And then, I think you kind of have to say kicker, don't you? Like, I know that they're really excited about what's coming in with Liam Evans, I believe. Is that correct? They're excited about that, but you probably want someone with a little more experience. And I don't know that Schmidt is who you want to go into 2024 with as your starting kicker. No offense to the kid. I mean, it's just it was tough. He had an up and down year, and it's one of those things where at the University of Oklahoma, you can't be losing games or be put in bad situations because you're missing 30-yard field goal attempts. You just can't do that. So I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't take a look at a kick or two.
All good stuff. I agree with you. I think offensive line. I think we'll see at least one more offensive lineman through the portal. I mean, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it could be two. Cool. I mean, I could see it taking two more. Yeah.
It could be two. But I think, I mean, I would bet on everything that there's that they add another guy in the portal on the offensive line. But it'll be interesting. They've got four more spots to fill. It could go a lot of different ways, but I think offensive linemen or the offensive line has to be in the mix there. But Brian, next time we talk, it'll be before the bowl game on Thursday, 8:15 p.m. Central Time. On Thursday, 8:15 Central Time. I was about to say Eastern Time for some reason. I don't know why. It's Christmas. I'm not thinking straight. Okay.
You're good, man.
but yeah, 8:15. We will talk again. We will have another podcast out before that game for everybody that wants to tune in. And then, you know, after the bowl game, we'll have a few more days of the transfer portal being open. We'll see what happens. But lots to come in the next couple of weeks. But, Brian, that's going to do for us here at the Oklahoma Drill. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. You know you can find us every week on the OU Insider YouTube channel. You can also become a VIP subscriber over at OUinsider.com. Tons of content to come in the next few days. Practice film, media availabilities, game breakdowns, feature stories, recruiting, all of that kind of stuff. Not to mention basketball still in full swing despite a tough loss on Wednesday. Things still look pretty good for Porter Moser and the basketball program. Transfer portal, again, open for another couple of weeks. Lots to tune into. Make sure you're either a VIP member over at OUinsider.com or you're liking and subscribing this OU Insider YouTube channel. But until then, hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, a happy holiday season, safe travels potentially if you're traveling on Christmas Day. And Brian, I will see you again on Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesday in San Antonio.
Need anything from Bucky's? I'll make a stop.
That's a good question. Beef jerky.
Okay, deal.
I want some jerky.
I can do that.
All right. Well, until then, Brian and everybody else, we'll see you guys next week.